Welcome, everyone, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. My name is Chris Shore, and joining me, as always, Jay Barnett for your SmackDown audio review. It is Saturday, June the 16th. We're reviewing the show that was on Friday, June the 15th, and we do this for you guys each and every week right here, this All Access Podcast, breaking down SmackDown each and every week. Usually it is Jake and I getting together and doing it, but it is not the only audio that's produced here on ProWrestling.net each week. We produce a lot of audio for our members only, though. Jake and Will Pruitt get together each week to do the .NET countdown and look at the top and the best and the worst, if you will, in professional wrestling each and every week. I come along once a week with an audio slant with just different topics, different things. Sometimes it's things from history. Sometimes it's things that are current. Sometimes it's things that's even happened to me, like this week. Jason Powell does a Q&A audio every Friday where he answers members' questions. And then Jason and I get together on Thursdays for .NET Weekly, which is our flagship show. We review all the news of the week. Sometimes we go off and talk about ways that WWE creative can improve. Just, you know, a ton of audio each week, and that's not even counting all the show breakdowns, WWE Raw, TNA Impact Wrestling, and, of course, your SmackDown audio review. If you want access to all of that audio, it's real simple. Just become a .NET member. Head over to ProWrestling.net. Click on the right-hand side of the page where it says .NET member sign up, and that will get you started. $7.50 a month for 30 days if you want to try it out. If you know you want to be a member, it's a great thing to do. Get the annual option. Saves you $2 each month, knock it down to $5.50, and you get the audio each and every month for a solid year. Not to mention you get access to the ad-free version of the site and access to our .NET members forum and our .NET members blog page. So good time to sign up. There's some good stuff going on in WWE right now. There's some bad stuff going on. No big surprise there. But this was the go-home show for No Way Out. No Way Out this Sunday. Jason Powell and I, of course, will be around on Sunday for your full coverage of that, as well as an audio review afterwards. Again, members only, so go ahead and sign up now if you want to get that. But this show was the last chance to hype No Way Out, and I have to say, I read the spoilers. I thought, well, you know, we're going to get that standard thing that they do where you have, you know, two title matches, and so they put the two baby faces together and the two heels together and put them in a tag match, and that's essentially what they did here. And I wasn't real excited about it, and then the show starts, and the first half hour kicks in, and Jake, I got to say, it appeared to me like they did a pretty good job of hyping No Way Out on this show.
Yeah, specifically the two title matches. I thought the opening segment, that ended up in that tag match was very good. I thought there were very good verbal performances from just about everybody involved, and then specifically, what we saw, develop between, AJ and Vicky that carried throughout the beginning all the way to the end of that segment. And Punk was very good. And they didn't let Bryan and Sheamus and Ziggler speak too much, but what they gave us in small doses was effective. I thought, by the end of that tag match, we had a pretty good reason to tune into the pay-per-view on Sunday. And I thought that it was pretty effective. It wasn't the best verbal thrashing we've ever seen on a WWE show, but it definitely sold the pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, usually the go-home SmackDown is often an afterthought. Sometimes we get a last little plug for whatever the World Championship match is, and maybe if there's an Intercontinental match, maybe we get a little something. But here we got a little bit of everything. We got those matches. We had John Cena show up along with Big Show and John Laurinaitis. We had a weak but nevertheless there tease, or at least hype a little bit for the Divas match, the Intercontinental Championship. They had, really about the only thing they did, we had David Otunga attacking Brodus Clay, which, wasn't great in its execution, but it's obvious they went into this show looking to sell buys, to create buys for No Way Out, and that's something we don't always see when it comes to these go-home SmackDowns. You mentioned the tag match at the beginning. We're going to take the whole show apart from start to finish, and we'll wait till then to really kind of pick these things apart. That was good. I absolutely agree with you on that. What did you think about, though, of Cena and Big Show? They showed up at different times. Cena at the end off of an incredibly stupid story. Cole gets up and announces, John Cena's left his house in West Newbury, Massachusetts. It's an hour drive from where John Cena and from West Newbury to where they were in New Hampshire, to Manchester, New Hampshire. And, I mean, the premise was stupid. That kind of bugged me and kind of shook me out of suspending my disbelief for a second. But outside of that, what did you think about Laurinaitis and Cena and Big Show at all?
Well, I mean, it just really feels like they're setting off every last firework in their bag for this match. I mean, it was obvious that they weren't going to be able to sell this just on the strength of sending Big Show after Cena. So now we have, Laurinaitis getting fired, and now Cena's going to get fired if he loses the matches. And McMahon's going to be at ringside. No, now it's in a steel cage. You know, I don't know. To me, it just feels like they're trying to add some interest to this feud, because the core of it, which is Cena versus Big Show, does not really carry any interest for many people. And I think that's still true for me. Nothing they did tonight made me interested to see, the actual match between Big Show and John Cena. What I am interested in seeing is what happens after the outcome. You know, is Laurinaitis going to go away permanently? I hope so. You know, would getting fired potentially give John Cena some needed time off of TV and perhaps refresh his character there? That would be good too. So, I really don't care to watch the match, but I'm interested to see what the outcome does to the future of WWE TV.
Yeah, God, they've done as best as they could with this. I mean, once you accept that they put these two together, that's the beginning of all the problems for this, is that we've seen this so many times and it just doesn't feel fresh. But I think, once you get past that, I think they've done as much as they could with this. You're right, it has kind of been an all-hands-on-deck booking situation with McMahon being there and now this person fired and that person fired and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, they are working hard to try to get this over. And I at least appreciate the fact that they're working hard to get it over instead of just going, it's Cena versus Big Show, shut up, you're going to watch it. I you got to give them credit for at least trying to make this work. But I do think all eyes are going to be on both championship matches, and we'll go to the show, and I'll pick your brain a little bit about No Way Out as we go through and see what you think. But again, this was recorded on June the 12th in Manchester, New Hampshire. And we opened up with a video of the recap of Big Show punching Vince McMahon in the head, I guess, at Raw on Monday, knocking him out, and just they really played that up and put it with
that was a gust of wind,
music.
Though.
I'm sorry. And
if you watch Monday, it wasn't really. I mean, they edited it in a way that made it look like a decent punch, but it was like a gust of wind that knocked Vince McMahon over. It was knockout punch ever.
Yeah, that it was for those of you who are old boxing fans, Michael Spinks versus Mike Tyson, that phantom punch. You know, like, did it hit him or did the wind just scare him into being knocked out? They had one good angle that I thought they kept going back to. They would show that looked like from the camera angle, and it's because he's missing, but because the camera was in such a great spot, it looked like he was just plowing into his forehead. So they were able to use that angle and make it look really good. But yeah, that night it was kind of a whiff. We get our traditional SmackDown video opening along with the pyro. Michael Cole, Booker T, and Josh Matthews, of course, checking in on commentary instantly. We're greeted with AJ's music. She makes her ring entrance. AJ says, that people wanted to know why she had kissed Kane on Monday. And the reason why, and that's as far as she got when Vicky Guerrero began her excuse me bit. She comes out and says, AJ, this is not about you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody cares about your craziness. All they care about is the guy who's going to be the new World Heavyweight Champion, Dolph Ziggler. So Ziggler comes out and makes his entrance with Vicky. Ziggler cut, I thought, a pretty good promo. He took a shot at AJ, called her. I was looking to see if you had it here. He went on a little rant about her being crazy, and
yeah, he spoke about a million miles a minute, so I don't think I picked up on much of it.
Yeah, I mean, he threw about 30 insults in there in 6 seconds, something like that. I mean, it was very entertaining. I thought he did a good job with it. AJ said that after he got done kind of cutting her down, she goes, I'm sorry, I quit listening to that about halfway through, but I think I'm supposed to be insulted. She said that the bleach in his hair had apparently sank into his brain because he was delusional and so was his grandma. which was a great line. Which, you know, it was kind of funny. Later in the show, they showed a the Raw memory of the Muppets being there, and he realized it's the same gimmick that Tiggy, or no, that Kermit did on Raw, where he said, we don't want any problems with, except it was Jack Swagger. And he said, we don't want any problems with you or your mother. So AJ just bumped it up to Grandma this time. Vicky Slacker. And AJ got the crazy look, and I don't know if there's anybody in WWE that can do the crazy look better than AJ right now. She has got that down pat. She looked like it was about to go down when CM Punk, his music hit. He comes out, makes his ring entrance. He gets in the ring and checks AJ's face. She's gushing over him and looking at him and giving him the goo-goo eyes and all that stuff. And Punk kind of, you know, at first he's okay, then he, you know, seems kind of creeped out by it a little bit or whatever. He said, he asked Vicky, he said, you said, excuse me, right? He goes, I want you to understand that just because you say it doesn't mean that I or AJ or anybody else in the building has to actually excuse you. He said, because there's not an excuse to have to listen to her. Punk said both she and Dolph are a broken record. She screeches every week and he never comes through. I really hope that this means that he's going over on Sunday, because I hate it when that's the truth and they point it out. And if it doesn't come through again, it just kills any heat that these guys end up getting. So I hope that's a sign of good things to come for Sunday. Punk said that there's no way that Ziggler was going to be World Heavyweight Champion. He couldn't beat Punk for the WWE title back in January, and there's no way he was going to beat Sheamus now. Punk interrupted and said he would speak for himself, and he said that on Sunday he would be the World Heavyweight. And then Daniel Bryan's music hit. Daniel Bryan comes out, and I thought probably delivered the, even though what he had to say was mostly short, I thought he did probably the best job of everybody there. He comes out and he goes, look at CM Punk taking up for AJ. CM Punk, the hero. And delivered it. I mean, I just thought the way he delivered that was very good. He said he got in the ring at that point, kind of got Punk's face and said, I'm having so much fun watching you and Kane make the same error I've already made. You didn't learn from my mistake. AJ cost me the World Heavyweight Championship, and she's going to cost you and Kane the WWE Championship at No Way Out. And then Sheamus' music hit. He comes out, and he says that he addresses Bryan and says, you still think AJ is the reason you lost the match? Bryan said, yeah, of course he did. He goes, you know, Bryan, you talk out of your ass so much, you don't know which end to look at whenever you're speaking. He said Ziggler had a good outing on Monday, but that was one night, and he wasn't going to be able to beat him on Sunday. He was looking forward to beating Ziggler one more time. He said, since everybody's here, we were supposed to do this match anyway. What do you say we get a referee out here and do the main event right now? A referee ran out, and everybody kind of agreed. AJ said, well, if we're going to do this now, then there's just one piece of old business I need to take care of. And she started to go after Vicky. Punk picked her up and kind of held her back. Ziggler held back Vicky, and we went into commercial. Usually, Jake, when we get that many people in the ring talking at one time, it ends up being a hot mess by the time it's all said and done. I thought everybody came in and not only added to what was going on, but didn't take away from anybody else. And I know you felt the same. I didn't cover the show last night. I was at a friend's birthday party. You texted me right afterwards and said, hey, are you watching? This is it was a great opening segment. I can't disagree with that.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I thought everybody played their part well. I don't know if you saw at the end when AJ ran at Vicky and Punk, and then Sheamus kind of held her back a little bit against the ropes. You could see Sheamus and Punk both cracking up because of how crazy she was acting, holding her back. Like I don't think they were supposed to smile, but they were kind of smirking and laughing in the corner. That was pretty funny. But the whole thing, just came off well, and I'm really interested in both of these matches. I was not looking forward to the World Heavyweight Championship match with Del Rio because I thought the outcome was pretty telegraphed. Nobody expected Del Rio to win. And at least now there's some doubt, we've seen television matches between Ziggler and Sheamus, and they've all been very good. So you give them a little extra time on pay-per-view, and they're going to come up with something really, really special. And the addition of Kane and AJ to the Punk and Bryan feud has just surprised the hell out of me. It's actually more interesting now, than it was a month ago. And I think that's a testament to how well they've used AJ and Kane. You know, they use them well in small doses, and I think it really adds to the stake that we were used to seeing with Punk and Bryan. And they can always go back to that at any time if the storyline runs out of gas. So they're in pretty good shape in their world title feud at the moment.
Yeah, do you think there's any chance that Ziggler wins on Sunday? Jason and I talked about this pretty deeply in .NET Weekly, and it would be a way to make. I don't think Sheamus would lose anything by losing the title, and it would make a star out of Ziggler immediately. Give Sheamus a chance to chase him, and you fill the hole automatically because I think Ziggler, you know, as a world champion, could be very effective there. Do you think there's any chance?
I do, yeah. And I think Sheamus would be a lot more interesting, you know, in chase mode. And I think he was more interesting prior to winning the title than he has been holding the belt. It really hasn't. It always seems like WWE has no idea how to book babyface champions. And I think that comes true with Ziggler with Sheamus because they haven't really developed a solid character for him. He just kind of goes out there and he does less of the Lucky Charm stuff now, but he's still, you know, doing the brawler thing, except he's getting cheers instead of booze. So I would enjoy him chasing and showing a little frustration and doing some of those things again. Whereas he's been kind of flat for me as a character since he got the belt. So I hope Ziggler wins, and I think there is a chance because I think it would be more interesting television because they have, they're going to have those extra hours of Raw and they still have the 2 hours of SmackDown to deal with. So Ziggler would be a guy who you could put out there for a couple matches a week and it could be entertaining stuff no matter who he's out there with.
Yeah, he just strikes me as the type of guy who can go out there and deliver every week and be the guy, be very much so a Ric Flair type heel where he wins, but it's always suspect how he wins, or at least mostly suspect how he wins, and he still gets under your skin, but he's good enough. I think he can work. I really do. I think he can work. When I say work, I don't mean like get in the ring and wrestle. I mean, you know, work with it. It makes sense as that character and really carry some guys and probably build some other babyface stars along the way. So I hope they take the chance with him on Sunday for sure. After the commercial, we did get a chance to see all four of these guys wrestle. First match tonight, Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan defeating Sheamus and CM Punk in 11 minutes and 41 seconds. One commercial break in the middle of this, a match that you should really go watch. There was nothing breathtaking. There was no moment where I really marked out, but it was just one of those matches where you settled in and started watching. And the whole time that they were wrestling, you had a good time. All these guys, you know, they hit all their spots, and there were a couple of clunky moments in there where I think some guys were confused, but all in all, it was a very well-wrestled match. Go out of your way to see this one. The finish on it comes. You've got Sheamus hits White Noise on Ziggler in the ring and clears Daniel Bryan. Punk's already on the ground. He sits up for the bro kick. Vicky Guerrero sticks her head in the ring. She's kind of got like half her body through the rope, the other half standing on the apron. AJ jumps up, dumps her in the ring, which allows Ziggler to attack Sheamus from behind, roll him up, hook the tights for the quick pinball victory. She's celebrating in the ring. Ziggler gets out of the ring and is celebrating. She's celebrating in the ring. Sheamus jumps out, chases Ziggler to the back through the crowd. Vicky turns around, there's AJ, and of course there they go, rolling around, taking shots at each other. They end up on the ground. Vicky escapes and is trying to crawl backstage. AJ grabs her legs, flips her over on her back. Vicky kicks her away, which causes AJ to slam into the apron. Vicky runs at that point back to the crowd as well and goes back to the back. Kane's pyro pops. He comes all the way down to the ring, picks up AJ, carries her, just lifts her up, you know, in the kind of, you know, carry across the threshold type carry. Carries her up the ramp up the ramp to the stage. And just as he gets to the stage, CM Punk has recovered and attacks him from behind. He drops AJ there on the stage. They battle back to the ring, rolls Punk in the ring, ends up choke slamming both of those, both Punk and Daniel Bryan, and then popping his pyro in the ring. He's staring at AJ. AJ just stares at him, drops down to her knees, and just starts looking crazy and maniacal. And this is what makes it so great, I have no idea what she's doing. I don't know if she's working for Bryan. If you ask me to put money on it, who's she going to end up with? She's going to end up with Daniel Bryan, and he's going to be the WWE champion. I think that's ultimately where this goes. But God bless her and the writers, too. They have played this so perfectly. I don't know. I that's where I'm betting, but I have no great confidence in that's where she's going to end up. It could go either way. with any of these guys. And, it, and as you said, it's been really good. It has been surprisingly good.
Yeah, they managed to use both her and Kane in a way to add a lot of interest to this feud. And I would expect, you know, even if she doesn't end up with Brian, that her distractions or whatever you want to call them in the match will probably result in him getting the belt. And I think they're probably going to have Punk chasing Brian into SummerSlam would be my guess. And how involved Kane stays in this, I guess I just don't know right now. But I really like what they've done with AJ. They've managed to make her... you know, the probably the only female talent in the last couple of years that's had an interesting on-screen presence away from, you know, the Divas division. And I hope they do this with more of their female wrestlers, because they have several of them that probably could act better than they could wrestle, and they could fill some of these roles and feuds like this. So I've enjoyed what AJ's done. You know, Kane definitely adds a presence to this feud. And, you know, his interactions with AJ have been, even if you don't enjoy his character normally, they've been kind of comical. And, you know, where they're going with Brian and Punk, I think, is the blow-off match at SummerSlam, and I'm excited about that, too. So I'm looking forward to everything about this.
It was a great job. They really did. I mean, they sold so often those tag matches don't do anything for either match. Occasionally, you'll get a match where one of the title matches gets a lift off of the silly put-together tag team match and the other one doesn't. This is one of those very, very, very rare moments where the opening segment and this match mix the two matches together, and yet both came out with great heat. I mean, Sunday, I'm really looking forward to these two matches at No Way Out. Everything else, these two matches are the reason why you're buying this pay-per-view, no question about that. I was announced that the YouTube pre-show for No Way Out was going to be Brodus versus David Otunga. Clay makes his ring entrance, dances all the way down with the girls, gets a great, of course, reaction from the crowd. They aired the video of Big Show destroying Brodus 3 weeks ago. Brodus cut a promo in the ring. He said that Laura Knight had banned him from Raw, and that's why he was pulling for John Cena to take care of Big Show at No Way Out. And said, but that was fine as long as if he had to stay on SmackDown, that was fine as long as he agreed to get him some competition, which Laura Knight had promised. Laura Knight also promised that he would be leaving on his back tonight. He said, so tell me who's going to put me on my back. Show me. And Heath Slater's music hits. And I don't know if you caught this, but this led to our second match of the night. Brodus Clay defeating Heath Slater in 20 seconds. A squash match. And we'll get to what happens afterwards in a moment. But did you hear Booker T say, oh, this guy, that's what I call him, referring to Heath Slater? Like, we won't even say Slater's name, he's just going to call him this guy. How often can Booker T bury talent on the microphone?
I don't know. I it seems like, especially when you got guys that are at the lower end of the card, he just routinely insults them with impunity. You know, it doesn't seem like he's out there with the intent of putting some of these guys over. He's just, you know, he's always telling them, oh, you got to show me something, or, you know, whatever.
Do you remember when he did it with John Cena? He came in and said John Cena took no talent and turned it into a great career.
Yeah, he succeeded despite his lack of any real talent or something like that. Yeah.
It was
just one of those mind-blowing moments where you're just like, this guy adds nothing to this show. And he really hasn't even improved since then. They managed to hide him away on SmackDown, and they kind of limit the amount of time that he speaks, because it seems like Matthews and Cole are doing the majority of the talking on these shows lately. But, yeah, he's terrible, and I wish they'd find a better role or at least a better character for him. We can't even say this is a character anymore. It's been going on for so long. You almost got to wonder if this is literally what this guy thinks.
Yeah, as soon as he said it, I was like, you know, because I'm not a Slater fan either, but, you know, hey, I do ring it, I do play-by-play stuff too, and you can't just bury a guy. He's playing the babyface color commentator like a heel, like he just buries the heels, and I don't think that's the way that gimmick is supposed to work. But nevertheless, we get the squash match, Slater dies immediately. Clay's all over him. His music hits. He's dancing with the Funkadactyls. When David Otunga comes out, hits him with the chop block, and proceeds to work the leg for, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes before he finally stops, and trainers come out, and sure enough, Brodus is on his back to end that segment. But the one thing that stood out to me was nobody bothered to go over with Otunga how to work a leg. I mean, like, he went to the same move over and over and over again, and it didn't even look all that impressive. I mean, there's stuff that I think is kind of silly, though, that works, like that leg DDT and all these sorts of things. He just, like, he clipped him, he pulled the leg apart a couple of times, and kicked the hamstring. That was it. And that put the big guy down. I thought it was just really weak.
Yeah, I think I noted in my report that Clay looked pretty silly having to sell for it, because it just did not look like it was that dangerous at all. I mean, they couldn't, had they known that it was going to look that weak, maybe they just hadn't hit it with a chair a couple of times or something. I don't know. But it did not look very dangerous to me. And then on top of it, WWE compounds its own stupidity by tweeting that Brodus has an MCL tear and his status for the pay-per-view is questionable. So I was like, really? That was an MCL tear? Oh, my God. But, it was just not good. I mean, the match wasn't that great. Clay's promo was okay, I guess, but the after-match assault wasn't that good either. I hope it improves because I want to see Clay in an actual feud, but Otunga didn't inspire me with his performance.
I like what they're doing, that they finally separated his in-ring work from his dancing stuff insofar as he's the big, goofy guy who comes out and dances and has a good time, but then he's in the ring and click, he suddenly sees. I mean, that's been my problem with this character all along, is that, you know, in the ring, he's gyrating and did I do that and all that stuff. You know, my bad. That just didn't work for him. If he can be a badass in the ring and a goofball out of the ring, I think he can actually make it work. And they're doing a better job of that now. Yes, I agree. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of beauty he can have. Otunga is a place to start. I mean, it's obviously it's not a place to finish, but we'll keep an eye on Mr. Clay as it goes along. And of course, Jason and I will be covering that. It will be live on YouTube, Facebook, and WWE.com. It will not be on the pay-per-view channel on television. You will not be able to see that match on television, only on the Internet, so make sure you look there. Jason, of course, and I will be covering that for you guys on Sunday. After that, we had Layla's. When we came back from commercial, Layla was, she came to the ring for commentary. Beth Phoenix, Alicia Fox made their appearances, their entrances after that. And another sub 1 minute match, our third match of the night, Beth Phoenix defeating Alicia Fox in 49 seconds. Pretty much so, it's Glam Slam, and then these two jawing and staring at each other. Layla wasn't very good on commentary. She seemed kind of distracted. She seemed almost like a politician to some degree, like she had notes, and she was not going to deviate from her notes in any way, shape, or form, and anything you said or asked was going to get back to those notes. So she's not going to hit the Glam Slam on me. It's not going to happen. I was just really unimpressed with all of it.
Yeah, it felt really last minute. I don't know. I just felt they threw it out there because they felt they had to. I mean, they set up this match on Monday for the pay-per-view, and just because it felt like they needed to have a Divas match on the pay-per-view. And this was just a total afterthought. I mean, I don't even know why you send Layla out there on commentary for a 50-second match, because she really didn't get a chance to say anything. She wasn't. It was just really, poorly planned out. I don't know if, they're just kind of biding their time, waiting for Carmen to come back, or if it's, Kelly going on her hiatus has completely deflated whatever, creative energy they wanted to put in that division, or what's going on. But they definitely seem to be on autopilot with the Divas, more so than they were before. So it's been a pretty brutal couple of months for the ladies.
Yeah, it is not a good time to be a WWE diva right now, man. They're getting paid better than they will anywhere else, but from a creative and wrestling standpoint, not a good time to be a diva for sure. After commercial, Lillian Garcia is in the ring, and she introduces John Laurinaitis, who enters on one crutch. Of course, not able to take his scooter because McMahon destroyed it on Monday. Laurinaitis came out and said that he wanted to apologize. He apologized. They apologized Tuesday morning man-to-man, but he wanted to apologize publicly as well. He said he was sorry what happened, but Vince McMahon should stay out of the way of Big Show, especially a guy of advanced age like McMahon is. They aired the recap again. They showed the video, and it wasn't even really a recap. It was the really, the impressive with the music and everything and all the special effects put in, the really the hype video more so than just a replay of what happened. Big Johnny said that at WrestleMania, he willingly put his job on the line, and what happened, he won. He says, over a limit, his job was on the line against John Cena, and again he won. He pointed out that his job was on the line again at No Way Out, but it wasn't in jeopardy because he had faith in the man who was going to be there and the guy who was going to destroy John Cena in a cage, Big Show. Quickly before we move on, was it really smart to point out they've been playing the same gimmick? You know, this is the third time his job's been in jeopardy since April. Was it really smart to point that out?
I didn't think so. It definitely made the recycled storyline seem all that more apparent to me. But I guess this is the angle they want to go. I mean, people really do want to see Laurinaitis get fired, so I guess, you know, throwing that out there isn't all bad, but it really did feel like, this whole Laurinaitis thing has just been, just grinding up old recycled storylines that are out there. Hell, even Big Show feels like he's reliving Mark Henry's storyline from 8 months ago.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, you're right. Yeah, it's a little bit different, and Show has a huge amount of things he could pull. And they did a video, I can't remember if it was before or after this in the show, where they show all his stuff. He's talking about, maybe it was last week, I can't remember, it's all running together now. But they did a video with him talking about all the silly stuff that he's done, and they showed, you know, different clips of him and 100 different, you know, just all the silly shit that Big Show has done throughout the years. Mark Henry was more about, you know, being open and smiling, and Big Show's saying a lot of the same things, but he's got so much just silly shit in his past that it works even better for him than it does for Henry. So even though he's recycling it, he's got different stuff from Henry, and it works out in a way. And that was pretty much the show's promo. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't have to lie about whether or not he hit McMahon on purpose. You know, if he gets fired, he's still going to sit at home and collect the money because he's got the ironclad contract now. He talked about when he came, you know, when WCW, his contract was up, people say, oh, you got to go to WWE, and so he does. He meets Vince McMahon, and he's like, you need to be more open. You need to, you know, people need to like you. You need to, you need to be a big part of the show. And that's not going to, in fact, your name is no longer Paul Wright. It's Big Show, and great name. And just kind of, you know, crapped all over that. And he said, like, what happened to Vince on Sunday? What he does to John Cena on Sunday will be deliberate and uncomfortable. He said Cena will suffer on Sunday, and after 14 years in the WWE, he is looking at the cage match at No Way Out as the first real match as himself. He guaranteed victory on Sunday, and he and Laurinaitis started to leave. They get out of the ring. Cole jumps up with a mic and says, I just love the way he worded this. Sources are telling me, and they're very trustworthy sources, that John Cena has left his house in West Newbury, Massachusetts, and is on his way here. He has promised to be here before the end of the show. Big Show got in the ring again at that point and simply said, if Cena was coming to the arena and was looking for him, he wouldn't be hard to find. And then that's when they left. I thought he did a good job. Like I said, because he's got so much garbage in his background that he can really pull up and point to even more so than Mark Henry. I mean, I like what they're doing with the show, Big Show character, as much as they can do with him right now. As I wrote in my hit list, he's still stale. Cena's still stale. This matchup is still stale. But they're doing the best they can with what they've got, and I thought he was effective here.
Yeah, you know, the material isn't phenomenal, but I mean, we know from what Henry was able to accomplish that this formula can work if Big Show can deliver the type of performances that he needs to, you know, to generate interest in it. But so far, despite Big Show being much better on the microphone than he has been recently, he still hasn't summoned up the fire, and the type of delivery that Henry had, last year, in order to put that character over the top. So I think that's kind of what this is missing. And I think if Show can find a little bit more energy in his promos, I think this would benefit greatly. But what we saw tonight wasn't bad. I mean, it was probably the best he could have extracted out of that bit of material. But going forward, I think it just needs to pick up the energy because it didn't work for me on that level. I mean, I understood what Show was saying, and, everything he was saying was, you know, you could definitely reason it as being something that his character would think, but it just didn't seem to have the anger level that you would expect somebody who felt like he had been embarrassed for 14 years.
Yeah, this is another one of those work shoot situations, and I am not a huge fan of work shoots because it says this is real, And by screaming, ooh, 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 this is real, it implies a scream, but none of that is. And so when Big Show referred to himself by his real name and whatnot, that sort of stuff kind of makes me cringe a little bit. It's not bad. It doesn't knock me out of suspending my disbelief or anything like that. It bothers me some that this is the new trend in wrestling is to do these work shoots so much or to make so many of these things be around reality. Cena and Rock had a lot of that going on, and of course CM Punk's Rise to Glory was built around that. I don't know. This one's not been as bad as some of the others as far as really going out of their way, but. Do you fear any blowback again, from this work shoot type of thing? I mean, is what I'm saying making sense, in other words?
Well, they're definitely going to run out of these very personal storylines. I mean, it only works for the people who have actual, real-life grievances to go after. But it's compelling when it's done correctly. But I think it's exceptionally worse than just a fictional storyline when it's done wrong, and I think there's a lot of danger there. If they continue to push these work shoots, there's a pretty good chance that one of them is just going to be a real, just a real bomb, and it's going to tank their broadcast. So, like the Lesnar thing kind of blew up in their face a little bit too. So, it can be good, but it can be just downright terrible. And I think they'll have a more consistent show if they just stick to the fictional stuff, just because I think fans have grown somewhat accustomed to it, and you can use these types of storylines that they're using now, with in exceptionally rare situations to really draw people in, like that original Punk storyline did. But when it becomes more commonplace, it's a lot easier to screw it up, and I think we're kind of starting to see some of that come to fruition.
Yeah, I just think about Kane, who was so good earlier in the show and everything he played out with, and his name's not Kane. He's not really a demon, but you're willing to put it aside because it's television and that's what you do. But then the guy comes along and says, he told me my name is no longer Paul Wright, it's Big Show. And you're like, it just kind of points to those, to people like Kane and goes, that guy's a fraud. And I guess that's my biggest problem with it. But they think that John Cena operates in a universe all of his own. There's some truth to that statement too. I guess we will move on. I'm not going to beat this horse anymore, but it does bother me whenever people do things like that, because I think it's not so much what it does to that feud, it's what it does to other feuds around it, and that's very frustrating. After commercial, Christian's music hits, and he comes to the ring. Josh Matthews plugs the Intercontinental title match between he and Cody Rhodes on Sunday. Jack Swagger makes his entrance for our fourth match of the night. Christian defeating Jack Swagger, 2 minutes 49 seconds. Kind of a paint-by-numbers match to give Christian a little bit of heat. Nothing spectacular. He wins with the frog splash. There was no Cody Rhodes here, so not a whole lot of storyline advancement, just an opportunity to give Christian one more shot in the ring and let people see him before the match on Sunday. It did not make my hit list because it was neither a hit nor a miss. It just was kind of there. You agree, Jake?
Yeah, I actually... do enjoy Christian, in the ring, and I think it is worth mentioning that we did not see the kill switch at all in this match, and he finished it with the frog splash. So I was excited about that, because I think that was one of the parts of his in-ring act that needed to be phased out. I think the kill switch is a terrible finisher. And,
yeah.
It doesn't even work well as a signature move, just because, I think we mentioned this before, it just looks silly when he's in there with larger opponents and he has to, to force them into a position where they have no leverage at all. But, that was worth mentioning. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There was nothing spectacular or terrible about this match. It was just kind of there. It was a tune-up, but I guess, the other thing you could probably talk about if you wanted to is just how far Jack Swagger has fallen from a character standpoint. I mean, that guy needs a total makeover right now. There's just nothing going for him at the moment. He definitely needs a reboot at some point if they want to turn him into a long-term success.
Yeah, he is no longer the All-American American. He is the All-American Reject at this point. You're right. His character, the stock in that guy has just bottomed out, and they're going to have to get Ian Ziggler away from each other because he's going to drag Ziggler down or continue to drag Ziggler down, especially if Ziggler ends up as the world champion. So lots of stuff that can change this Sunday. After commercial, we get the introduction of the two jobbers that you've never heard of who crack wise on the microphone for a minute. Fifth match of the night, Ryback kills them in a minute and 58 seconds. I'm honest, I'm done with this. I do not care anymore. I don't even necessarily mind the squashes so much, but I'm tired of the cheesy-ass gimmick of the two guys, and we're going to cut this promo about how we're going to beat up this guy, only to have him come out, and they don't even touch him. It's over and done with. Yes, two guys that I know personally got to be on TV last week, and I'm very happy for them. But swear to God, I'm done with this gimmick. Not the Ryback gimmick, the gimmick of him getting in and killing the two guys who crack wise. Move on. Just stop giving him the mic. Whatever. But move on. I'm done with it. It annoys me.
Yeah, it's definitely played out now, more so, than I even thought it was possible a couple of weeks ago. You know, I thought for sure they'd let him move on to lower card wrestlers, your Heath Slaters of the world or something, to give him some more competition. But it definitely doesn't feel like he's, I don't know if they don't think he's ready for it, or if they, if they just don't want to move this Ryback character out of its groove right now. You know, we haven't really even heard the guy talk. We don't know what he's like verbally, and in the ring he. We don't even know what he can do, selling wise. He's never had to take a punch. He doesn't have to, sell any offense. So I think there's a lot of question marks about Ryback that we need to see answered before, they can expect fans to really get behind him. He's still got an uphill battle. The little parody that they've been doing of WWE in the 1980s was funny for about 3 weeks, but it needs to go away now. We need to see more about who this guy is.
Yeah, I mean, just something. He looks great. He works great in the ring. He moves good. I'm ready. I'm sold. I don't think anybody needs any more convincing that he's a giant terror. But we need to, again, when we got guys like Damian Sandow beating guys like Tyson Kidd, when you have guys like Brodus Clay beating guys like Heath Slater, and then Ryback comes along, and you would think that he would be bigger than them, or maybe not Clay, but certainly Sandow as far as just muscling. Yes, he's beating two guys as opposed to one, but it's two guys named Fred. It's two guys that you, who the hell are these people? It's just very, very frustrating. And at least one of those guys was, my 14-year-old daughter could probably beat up. So I'm done with the gimmick. It's very frustrating. I want to see what this guy can do. Speaking of Damian Sandow, Tyson Kidd was in the ring after commercial. They recapped his confrontation with Sandow the previous week with Hornswoggle. Sandow makes his entrance and once again does his cut down of the masses. He called Kidd an ignoramus and said he will not learn the consequences of undermining his and all of our enlightenment, which led to our sixth match of the night. Damian Sandow defeating Tyson Kidd in a minute, 2 seconds. Sandow actually had to sell a little bit here because Kidd hit a couple of kicks. Tried to go for the sharpshooter, I believe, in the corner. But Sandow kicked him away, hit those really brutal looking knees. Those knee lifts he does are great. I mean, they're really just nasty looking. He looks like he's just wailing on the guy. And then, of course, his straitjacket neck breaker was the finish on that with the arrogant cover. I love this guy. He has got money written all over him. He's not necessarily, this act is not necessarily a world title act. But I think he could be a guy you could put a Intercontinental United States Championship belt on. And, I mean, I'm not pushing for it next week. I don't mean to sound like that, but I think he is a guy that once he's fully established, you can put a belt on him and make him someone that the fans just despise. He's good on the mic. He's very fluid and smooth in the ring. I think he's money.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I like both his verbal ability and what he's been able to do in the ring. I want to see him in some longer matches, excuse me. But I think he's got great potential. And, I think he could be a contender right now for Christian's Intercontinental title. And I'd like to see that too. I think they could do something special with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a guy who's very, who's smart and smarmy on the mic and could give, but his smarminess would give Sandow's character a lot to work with. There's just a lot of guys he can work with out there. He because everybody is so shallow, and he could have such a great time, you know, pointing out the fact that everybody is so shallow, their characters are so shallow. I think he just got a hold of one. He's got the perfect gimmick to be in WWE right now. 5 years ago, it may not have worked. 5 years from now, it may not work. But today, he's got probably the best gimmick in all of WWE as far as individual character. There are people who were, you know, who are better, CM Punk, and, you know, all those sorts of characters that we like more. But I think as far as, you know, a unique character, something different, I think this guy has got it. He's got money. I was watching the show, and I thought, wow, this guy is ready. You know, if I'm running this promotion, he moves up a lot. You know, after this pay-per-view, he's on the next pay-per-view in a meaningful way, because I think there's a lot available for him. And again, a guy like Ziggler, who I think can get a lot of guys over at the same time. But that was your main event, folks, because that was the last match. After commercial, we see John Cena walking backstage, and then he's, you know, his music hits, and we get John Cena coming to the ring. He comes out, cuts a promo, he apologizes for being late, that he wasn't even supposed to be there, and you know, mentioned some local place that he was going to go to, but said his boy called him and told him Big Show had called him out. And so there he was in the middle of the ring, but he couldn't find Big Show anywhere. John Laurinaitis' music hit at that point. Big Johnny comes out and says that what happened on Monday was all Cena's fault. The WWE board of directors had issued an edict saying that no matter what, the main event at No Way Out would go on, and for talent safety reasons, he has sent Big Show home. Cena said that means, well, if he's not here, then that makes you the number one person on the list to knock out. Johnny threatened to fire him if he hit him. Cena said, well, you can't fire him because the board of directors said no matter what, the main event's going to happen at No Way Out. So, of course, Big Johnny at that point got all puffed up and said he had beat Cena before, or he had, you know, embarrassed him, and he would have no problem doing it again. Cena said that Johnny was the embarrassment, that his entire reign as general manager had been an embarrassment to the company. He said he was better off, that he better hope his bet with Big Show pays off. Laurinaitis said, if you do what you want to do and Big Show wins, then the first thing I'm going to do on Monday is fire you. Cena said, well, you know, one thing's for sure, no matter what happens on Sunday, somebody's going to get fired. And he knocked Laurinaitis out. He posed above him, and his music played to close out the show, his final heat for No Way Out. Again, I think it shows they're worried about the pay-per-view buy numbers, that they've got John Cena in the main event side on SmackDown trying to sell this pay-per-view. And I mean, it didn't hurt them here. They needed to do something, and this may not have been the best thing that they could have done, but I thought it was effective enough. And Cena was Cena here. We could pick it apart for all the reasons. We've picked his stuff apart for 2 years now. But, they did the best they could with what they had. And, again, I appreciate the effort, if nothing else. And I thought he was okay here. And what do you think about what he did here? What do you think about the stipulation, you know, the double firing stipulation now for that match in No Way Out?
I hope it ends in a double DQ and both guys get fired, because they both need to be off TV for a while. I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it. I mean, some of the stuff they've been doing with Laurinaitis has been entertaining. I think they had gotten all the mileage they could have possibly gotten out of him at WrestleMania, so I was ready for him to go away after that. Cena has basically lost every last bit of steam that he gained from his feud with The Rock. You know, coming out of WrestleMania, I thought, okay, well, Cena took a clean loss. This is a good opportunity for him to do some character adjustments. And, you know, within 30 days, because of the fallout of that whole Lesnar situation, he's back to poopy jokes and wristbands and everything else. So he needs some time away from television as much as Laurinaitis does. So if there's a way that they can have a convoluted ending where they both end up getting fired, that's probably pretty good, a pretty good use of the pay-per-view, because they need to reboot Cena somehow. He doesn't necessarily need to go full heel, but he definitely needs, a new hook. He's grown as stale as the Big Show is. And Laurinaitis, you know, it's just time for a change. It seemed like on Monday when Teddy Long kind of booked that match, and Laurinaitis stole the idea that, they were kind of moving in that direction. So I don't know. I could see it going either way on Sunday, but I think it would do both Cena and Laurinaitis some good to stretch their legs on a beach somewhere and stay off of TV for a while.
All right, well, there you go. There's the breakdown of WWE SmackDown. Jake, I'm not sure if you're doing a premium prediction article for No Way Out, but quickly, just on the two title matches, your quick predictions. We'll let you do the why in your article if you want, but just quickly, who you got in the WWE triple threat match? Who do you have in the World Heavyweight Championship match?
I'm going to go with Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan.
Do you think both heels win the championships at the pay-per-view?
I think we're in for Vince hitting the reset button. I think they're looking to do something more interesting heading into SummerSlam. I think the ratings drop probably was more alarming to Vince than it had been in years past, just because they really did not have any stiff TV competition during that 3 or 4 week lull where they haven't been able to keep their viewership totals over 4 million. It's the first time in over a year since that happened. So, and now that they're expanding to 3 hours and they got that 1,000th episode of Raw coming up, I think the sudden dip in ratings probably started a panic. So I think we're going to see something completely new start on Monday.
Well, we will find out for sure. My premium predictions article will be up this weekend. If you want to hear my predictions, got to sign up to be a .NET member, and you can listen to it on .NET Weekly. Of course, it gives you access to all that audio I mentioned at the top of the show, the .NET Countdown, Q&A, Audio Slam, .NET Weekly, show reviews, access to the ad-free version of the site where you can follow Jason Powell and I on Sunday as we cover No Way Out for you guys live right here on ProWrestling.net. Jake, thank you always for joining me as we do this each and every week. Everyone listening, thank you for your continued support of ProWrestling.net. Head over there right now and sign up to be a .NET member. Just $7.50 a month if you want to try it out. $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. Great time to do so. We got a lot of good stuff coming up over the next few months. Jake and I will be back next week with another SmackDown audio review. I will see you back on Sunday for No Way Out coverage. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Have a great weekend. See you Sunday night. And to all the fathers, Jake, you too, because I know you're a daddy, happy Father's Day to you and to everyone out there. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you back Sunday night. Take care.